Dr. Arthur Perry. He's one of the top plastic surgeons. He's got offices in Manhattan, New Jersey. You know, and he's been doing a show here on WOR for years and years and years. Very popular show and a great plastic surgeon. Everybody has questions on this subject, so he's the guy to ask. Dr. Arthur Perry.
Dumb, the public wants to know.
The public doesn't give a damn.
And I went to his office, and I said, I said, look at my face. He goes, yeah, look at your face. We're going to do with your face. What can you do with his face? I go like that. I swear to God. I go, look at this. I'm getting old. I said, I want to maybe you could fix it up a little bit.
Dr. Oz, are you there?
I'm here, Arthur, and I want to again applaud you, having worked with you on a book and numerous other activities.
You want to talk to Arthur Perry, the best in plastic surgery.
Remarkable knowledge, but also your grace at delivering content, which is why it's been a blessing to have you on my show so many times.
When I was a resident at the University of Chicago, we had a...
That means you're smart.
As a really, really gifted physician, I want to pay you the highest tribute I can give to a surgeon, which is when people come to you, they don't come for an operation, they come for an opinion. And that's why I trust you with my friends and relatives.
I didn't realize we were going to get the Michael Jordan of plastic surgeon. 90210 bows to this guy.
And welcome. This is Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WOR. And I hope everybody is having just a great weekend. It is a beautiful weekend. And, you know, Noah was saying to me before the show, well, you know, it's a sunscreen weekend. Look at it. But it's cold. But the UV index was up. And when the UV index is over 3, yeah, you do need sunscreen. And that's the segue to my daytime, which is back. But we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. I'm a board-certified plastic surgeon, host of What's Your Wrinkle for a long time here on WOR. And I hope you're enjoying the show. And you can become part of the show by giving me a phone call. 800-321-0710 is the phone number at WOR. It's a free call from all over the United States. And I know we have people listening from all over the country. We have California listeners. We have South Carolina listeners. We've got Florida listeners. I know there's some people in Boca that are listening right now. So give me a call, 800-321-0710, 800-321-0710. So this is a show about you. This is the show about what you look like. This is the show about wrinkles and about splotchy pigmentation. It's about small breasts and protruding bellies. And maybe you've got some fat around your hips that you just wanted to get rid of. You're almost at your ideal weight, but you can't lose those last few pounds. And maybe you're thinking of liposuction. Well, this is the show for you. I'm board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and I'm here to answer your phone calls. I'm here to educate. I'm here to entertain a little bit, but I can't be your doctor unless you make an appointment with me, of course. But so the advice that I give on this show is not personal for you. You have to speak to your own doctor if you have a real medical issue. You can listen, you can learn, but remember, I'm not your doctor on the radio here. That's the legal disclaimer. 800-321-0710 is the phone number here at WOR. And give me a call early in the show. Everybody keeps their radio on and then calls the last 10 minutes, and we can't get to all your calls, but I'd like to. So give me a call. We're going to be giving away bottles of daytime today. And daytime, yes, it's that SPF 20 sunscreen, but it's so much more than a sunscreen. I mean, I even hate to label it as a sunscreen. It's a skin protector, and it's one that really helps your skin get through the day. And, you know, we're constantly assaulted with chemicals, air pollution, ultraviolet light. Your skin really is assaulted, and daytime is what can help your skin. It's got niacinamide in it. And it's got high amounts of niacinamide, and that is something that helps the barrier function of your skin. The barrier is what keeps the bad things out, keeps the good things in. And, of course, we know what ultraviolet light is. It's the ager of the skin. It's the primary ager of the skin other than your genes. And heaven forbid if you smoke cigarettes, that's a big ager of your skin. But certainly the ultraviolet light that we are seeing every single day and a sunny day and New Jersey, New York, and all over the country. That's what will age you. It'll cause skin cancers, wrinkles, rough, splotchy skin, and daytime is what can help you. So we're giving away bottles of daytime if you have a good question for me. It's got to be a legitimate question, so give me a call. Today we're going to talk about the top procedures in plastic surgery. And every year, the American Society of Plastic Surgeons, that's the group of the largest group of plastic surgeons in the country, of which I'm a member, and the American Society for Aesthetic Plastic Surgery. That's the kind of the second largest, but that group of plastic surgeons that really does most of the cosmetic surgery. Well, they compile the statistics. They go through all of our employees, sit there for weeks, and we count the number of procedures that we do every year, and we send them into our national societies. And they compile the statistics, and this week they were both released by our national society. So we're going to talk about those. So Noah, we'll get to that in just a minute. But we're also going to talk about lasers and other forms of non-invasive facial rejuvenation. So we'll talk about that. It's so popular, the laser procedures now, and I've done a lot in the last few weeks, and we're going to talk all about those. And we're going to take your phone calls, 800-321-0710 is the phone number. So what about those statistics? So every year, it's kind of like the Oscars of plastic surgery. And it really is. Thank you, Noah. Noah's always, what a professional. He's got that music ready. Yeah, it really is the Oscars of plastic surgery, because every year we think, we want to know what are the most common procedures that we do. And it changes every year. And last year, of course, was the toughest year of them all, because the average plastic surgeon, they actually came up with this number. The average plastic surgeon did not work for 9 weeks last year. Now, I know many, many people that were out of work so many more weeks than that. I was out of work, I think it was 14 weeks last year for various reasons, COVID being the biggest one, and other reasons, illness in the family. But most of us have been out for a long time. So the numbers from last year, they're going to be down from the year before. Although right now, I have to tell you, in my office and in most plastic surgeons' offices around the country, we're seeing that rebound. We're seeing a very, very busy spring, because those of you who have been inside all year and you finally got your vaccine, you're ready to get out there. You're ready to have your procedures. People are still wearing their masks, which for plastic surgeons, that's a great thing, because we can go ahead and do filler. We can do Botox. We can do all sorts of procedures. And you go out early because you've got your mask on. You know, if you have a rhinoplasty, normally it's a long time before you go out. It's at least a week, if not two. But with a mask, who's going to know what's going on underneath that mask? So if you have a rhinoplasty, you can go right out a couple days later. If you have filler, it's the next day you're out, as opposed to, having to put some makeup on and hiding it for a long time. So it has been significantly better this time of year. You know, there's pent-up frustration. I have patients. I had a patient who came in last week. In fact, two of them who had not had their Botox in 14 months. Because what happened 14 months ago, we all started hiding. And a lot of people listened very carefully and stayed in their houses just as much as possible so that they did not get the illness. And then they finally got vaccinated. So it's time to come out. The hibernation is over. The country is returning to normal, I hope. So I've had, just in the last week, two patients that had waited 14 months to have their Botox. Normally it's 4 months on average for Botox. You know, Botox, we all know what that is. If you're listening to this show, Botox is for the wrinkles of the forehead, the horizontal wrinkles of the forehead, the vertical wrinkles between the brows, and the crow's feet. Those are the three most common areas that we do Botox. And it takes a couple days to start working, as long as 2 weeks sometimes, but it only lasts about 4 months. There's a new Botox coming out. And we say Botox, by the way. It's really botulinum toxin. So when I give my lectures to the residents at Columbia, and I think I'm giving one to the residents at Einstein coming up on botulinum toxin. We don't like to use brand names because that taints the residents, right? You know, we want them to just understand what the different products are and choose the right one, but not say just Botox, because that's a brand name. And there are four different products now. There's Xeomin, there's Javu, which is the hardest one to pronounce, there's Dysport, and the new one coming out. So we do those procedures. We do Botox. We do all these different things, and now it's become very, very popular after the vaccine has come out and after everybody's pent up frustration from not being able to have their procedure. So, well, let's get into it. Let's get into what is the most common procedure. Noah, I bet you know. Noah knows the answers every year. He's been with me for 16 and a half years. He knows exactly what I'm going to be saying. And in fact, the most common procedure in all of cosmetic surgery in 2020, the year that we all want to forget, is Botox or neurotoxins or botulinum toxin. But the numbers were down. It was 2.6 million people last year, 2.6 million, the most popular procedure in all of cosmetic surgery. And why is it so popular? Because it works. It's relatively inexpensive, relatively. I mean, everything is relative. If you're out of work, it's not so inexpensive. But to have a procedure for that last 4 months or so that significantly decreases the appearance of your wrinkles, you know, really, really rejuvenates your upper face. We don't use it on the lower face. Most of us don't. It's a wonderful treatment, and it's incredibly safe. It really is. I mean, the worst thing, knock wood, of course, the worst thing that I've ever had happen is a little bit of bruising. And sometimes the eyelids drop just a little bit for a few weeks afterwards. And that's, some of that is because of the swelling that occurs from the procedure. And some is because of the paralyzed muscles. And it is the paralyzed muscle of the forehead that does lower the brow. So if you're holding your brow up, you know, if you're looking ahead, it's hard to see that you're holding it up because the real position of your brow in a woman should be at the bony rim or just slightly above the bony rim, not the Nancy Pelosi look, which is halfway up the forehead. No, we want a nice natural-looking forehead and nice natural-looking brow. But it's hard for you to see where that is because people reflexly lift their brows to get the skin off of the upper eyelids. So as a plastic surgeon, I take a photograph of you with your eyes closed and a photograph of you with your eyes open, and most people who have extra skin in the upper eyelids will lift up their brows. And if you do get Botox, then sometimes they drop, and sometimes that's not an acceptable thing for you. Sometimes we do have to do an eyelid lift before we do the Botox. When we return from our break, we're going to talk about the surgical procedures, not the non-surgical procedures, but the surgical procedures that topped the list this year, and it's a different one than last year and many other years, so you'll want to listen. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. 800-321-0710 is the phone number. We'll be back after these words.
Did you know that most skincare is useless, even fraudulent and often toxic? I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry. I needed great skincare for my patients, but really could not find products that dramatically improve skin health. So I went to the books, and I created a line of skincare that reduces the appearance of wrinkles and truly rejuvenates skin. I want everyone to try my products, and so for a limited time, I'm offering my Beauty in a Bottle Nighttime Serum at a great price. Normally, this is $65, but for WOR listeners, it's $40 plus shipping. Nighttime contains vitamin C and A, fruit acids, antioxidants, and skin brighteners. That's all you need for beautiful skin. It's so simple that your friends and relatives will be asking you, what are you doing to look so good? Go to drperrys.com, that's drperrys.com, or give us a call at 844-DR-PERRY. Use the WOR20 code for the discount. To learn more, listen every Saturday evening, 6 p.m., right here on WOR.
Ladies, are you looking older than you feel? I'm board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry. Aging is inevitable. We all know that, but I can help you age gracefully. I start with Botox to lessen frown lines, and I use the new Restylane Kiss. What a great name! To, well, you know, give you more kissable lips. No duck lips here. And I smooth the jawline and plump marionette lines with Juvederm. We might remove unsightly blemishes or even reduce splotchiness and rejuvenate the skin with a chemical or laser peel, or I can thicken crepey skin with Ulthera, and for the most dramatic rejuvenation, I perform short scar face and neck lifts. Let's sit down in my Somerset, New Jersey or Beverly Hills offices for an hour consultation and come up with a plan to help you look better. Give me a call at 833-PERRY-MD. That's 833-P-E-R-R-Y-M-D. Check me out on the web at perryplasticsurgery.com. And don't forget to listen to me, Dr. Arthur Perry, every Saturday evening at 6 p.m. right here on WOR.
You're listening to What's Your Wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry. What's Your Wrinkle?
And we're back. This is Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WOR, where we have been for 16 and a half years. Happy to answer your questions. 800-321-0710 is the phone number. 800-321-0710. And we've got Lori on the line. What can I do for you, Lori? What's your wrinkle?
It's above the lip, doctor, with Botox that I once had, but it got lumpy. So I was told that they can take that out and then insert new Botox.
Okay, wait a minute now. All right, first of all, Lori, how old are you?
Older than dirt.
Older than dirt. So you're 250 billion years. No, how old are you?
70.
You're 70. That's not so old. All right, you're 70. Where do you live, by the way? Where do you live? Don't tell me the street. What town do you live in?
Queens.
All right, Queens, New York. Well, welcome to the show. All right, so I'm going to take a wild guess here that it's not Botox that you had injected in your lip, but rather it was wrinkle filler. Am I right?
Yes.
Yes, because yes. Botox can't give you a lump. So you said you got a lump in your lip afterwards. So Botox is a liquid, and Botox usually is administered into the muscles of the forehead that lift the brows, that create the horizontal lines of the forehead, or it's administered around the brows, above and between the eyebrows, and the brows pull together when you squirm, when you yell at your husband or your kid or the guy in front of you at the supermarket line, you know, who has 18 different items in a 10-item lane. You know, that's what you crinkle your brow. You get those vertical lines. And also when you squint and when you smile, you get those crow's feet. So we use Botox for those type of wrinkles. But usually we don't use Botox for the wrinkles around the mouth. The only exception is if you have a crinkled chin. If you have a crinkled chin, I often will use just a little bit of Botox to smooth out the chin. But you're talking about wrinkles around your mouth, right?
Yes.
Okay, so were they in the lips or were they the lipstick bleed lines that circle your lips kind of like spokes of a wheel? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, like as though from drinking from a straw, you know?
Yeah,
so
or smoking. Yeah. Did you ever smoke?
No.
Good. Smokers get terrible lipstick bleed lines. So let me ask you something, and I don't want you to mention the name of the doctor, but what kind of doctor injected it? Was it a plastic surgeon? Was it a dermatologist or maybe not a doctor at all?
No, it was a doctor.
Okay, that's good.
A dermatologist.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that person injected something into those wrinkles and you got lumps. How long ago?
It's been a while. Was a while.
Do you still have the lumps?
Yeah, the lumps are still there. And this new doctor that I had gone to said that he could take out, I guess, the filler and then insert another filler.
Okay. Do you know what kind of filler you had injected?
No, I'm sorry. I don't remember.
So the most common filler is called hyaluronic acid. Hyaluronic acid. That's a normal constituent of the skin. And it's the thing in our skin that keeps our skin moist. So hyaluronic acid decreases in its amount by 1% every year from age 30 on. But when you hit menopause, this is something I haven't talked too much about on the show, it actually increases, and then you get 2 to even 6% loss of hyaluronic acid and collagen around the time of menopause, and that period lasts around 4 or 5 years where you have accelerated loss of hyaluronic acid and elastin. Those are the stretchy fibers of the skin, and also collagen. Those are the structural layers of the skin. So your skin thins, it becomes less stretchy and less moist. And so that's a problem of everybody, but particularly around the time of menopause because of the accelerated pace of that. It's really very disturbing to so many people. So what do you do? I mean, there's lots of things we could talk about, skincare, but a lot of people do use fillers. And the most common one is hyaluronic acid. Now, they go under different names. Restylane is one of those companies, one of those products, rather, and Juvederm is another one. And there are a bunch of them, but those are the most common ones. This year, I'm using mostly Juvederm products, but I'm also using Restylane. They've got a great one for the lip called Restylane Kiss. So your surgeon, your doctor, will choose the right product for you, hopefully. All right, so hyaluronic acid is one of those. And if it's around the lips, that's the usual one that's used. But there are others. There's one that actually has plastic in it. That's called Belafil, and I don't like that idea at all. And a lot of people think it's a good thing because it's permanent, and I think it's a bad thing because it's permanent. And when you have a problem with something permanent, it's a permanent problem. And that's one of the reasons I don't like a permanent filler So if you had, let's say, a lump from a permanent filler like that methyl methacrylate in Belafil, or silicone that some people inject into the lips and around the lips, if you have a lump, there is nothing you can do about it. You have to cut it out. And, boy, I'll remember when I was resident at the University of Chicago, we had a woman that we actually had to cut filler out of her face and do a microsurgical operation in order to reconstruct her face. Not a good thing. But the most common thing, and probably what you had, is hyaluronic acid. Now, this lump, have you tried massaging it, by the way, and smushing it and trying to get rid of it that way?
No, I haven't. No.
Okay, so that is the first step. And again, like I said at the beginning of the show, I can't give you specific advice because you're not my patient. But what I tell my patients, and very few, by the way, have had lumps. I've only had one patient, and I'm not kidding. In all the years since 2003 and all the many, many, many thousands of patients that I have injected hyaluronic acid, I've only had one person, and you know who you are. She listens every week. And she got that lump about a year and a half ago, and that was almost an allergic reaction type to the hyaluronic acid. And if you can remind me, I'll tell you about what happened this week in just a minute, speaking of lumps. But certainly, it's pretty rare to have a lump from hyaluronic acid. And the nice thing about hyaluronic acid, Restylane, Juvederm, all those products, is that it stays flexible for its entire existence. And that means if you have a lump that you find 2 months later, you can massage it out for the most part. There are other fillers, one called Radius. And I love Radius. It's a great filler, but it's made of bone material. It's calcium hydroxyl apatite. And I'll tell you something. After 2 or 3 days, you cannot move Radius. So if you get a lump from Radius, you're stuck with it for a long, long time. And I've had 7 patients over the years out of about, I'd say, probably 1,000 or maybe 1,500 patients that I have injected Radius into that I actually had to go back and either inject with steroids or, in some cases, cut out the Radius. And that's not a fun day. So I use a lot less Radius now than I used to. It is a great filler. It's probably the most robust filler if you've got really tough marionette lines. But there's a higher likelihood of getting lumps from that one. But the one you probably have is hyaluronic acid. So you had a suggestion by the dermatologist that he or she would inject something called hyaluronidase. Right? That's an enzyme, also called Ydase. There's a bunch of different names for that. And that particular thing, it's an enzyme that dissolves the hyaluronic acid. And you know something? I saw the statistics last year, because we're going to talk about statistics during the show, and there were somewhere over 10,000 people that had that enzyme injected into their faces to dissolve the filler, and that's what they suggested for you. I don't like the idea. And the reason I don't like the idea is because, one, I know that in almost all cases, the hyaluronic acid can just be massaged out. So if you have a lump from it, you work on it 5 minutes in the morning and 5 minutes in the afternoon, and you kind of smush it as if there's a piece of Play-Doh clay underneath your skin, you know, that's creating a little bit of a lump, and you smush it. So it's not a rubbing motion, but a smushing motion. That's a highly technical word, by the way. So you smush this, and you gradually get rid of it. The reason they suggested using the enzyme is because it can dissolve it rapidly, like within a day or two. But my opinion is that the enzyme is a very dangerous thing to use. I'm sorry to say that. It is, because it's a complex protein. And if you use it once, it's not dangerous at all. But if you use it a number of times, there's a good chance that you can have an allergic reaction to it. And some of the allergic reactions to these proteins can be quite serious. And so I like to reserve the use of an enzyme for a true emergency. So that means if you were unlucky enough to have hyaluronic acid injected and the doctor got it into a blood vessel and you got a big area of skin that did not look like it was going to survive, or heaven forbid, you had a loss of vision or something like that, that is when you use the hyaluronic acid dissolver called hyaluronidase, in my opinion. Now, I know that lots of people are using it, and for the most part, it's safe, but I am a very conservative doctor, and I like to reserve things like that for a true emergency. So my advice is that, no, yeah, and of course, you're not my patient. I can't give you advice. But my advice to my patients, if they were to be in this situation, would be, you know, just try and massage it. It'll eventually go away. And the thought of then, well, you know, dissolving it and then putting more in, you know, you have to think carefully about that. Why did you get a lump in the first place? Was it because of the skill of the doctor? Did they not inject it properly? I use something called a micro droplet technique. And that's a big fancy word, right? But the amount that I inject in any one location is the amount that sits on the head of a pin. It's a teeny, teeny, tiny amount, which is why, for the most part, I don't get lumps. You know, yes, I had one about a year and a half ago, but that was an allergic reaction, not placing too much hyaluronic acid in one particular location. So by using a micro droplet technique, it's very, very unlikely to get lumps because I don't smush this large amount of hyaluronic acid in one particular location. So that's my answer to you. What do you think of that, Lori?
Thank you. It was very helpful. Thank you. But even though it was done a while ago, you still think that by massaging it, that it might disappear?
If it's hyaluronic acid, you can massage that months or even years down the line and move the material. And in fact, there are cases where doctors have told patients to massage it, and they've done it the wrong way, and they've moved it to a location you didn't really want it. So you have to get get instruction from your doctor and do it the right way. But yeah, even a hyaluronic acid that was placed 6 months or even a year ago is massageable, if that's a word, and movable. Thanks so much for the call, Lori. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WOR. When we return from the break, yes, I'm going to talk about the procedures that are so popular in plastic surgery now. But I'm also going to tell you about a patient that I saw last week who had a really unusual problem. Oh, boy. After a year and a half after getting hyaluronic acid. We'll talk about that in a minute. 800-321-0710 is the number. We'll be back after these words.
Did you know that most skincare is useless, even fraudulent and often toxic? I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry. I needed great skincare for my patients, but really could not find products that dramatically improve skin health. So I went to the books, and I created a line of skincare that reduces the appearance of wrinkles and truly rejuvenates skin. I want everyone to try my products, and so for a limited time, I'm offering my Beauty in a Bottle Nighttime Serum at a great price. Normally, this is $65, but for WOR listeners, it's $40 plus shipping. Nighttime contains vitamins C and A, fruit acids, antioxidants, and skin brighteners. That's all you need for beautiful skin. It's so simple that your friends and relatives will be asking you, what are you doing to look so good? Go to drperrys.com, that's drperrys.com, or give us a call at 844-DR-PERRY. Use the WOR20 code for the discount. To learn more, listen every Saturday evening, 6 p.m., right here on WOR.
Ladies, are you looking older than you feel? I'm board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry. Aging is inevitable. We all know that, but I can help you age gracefully. I start with Botox to lessen frown lines, and I use the new Restylane Kiss. What a great name! Give you more kissable lips. No duck lips here. And I smooth the jawline and plump marionette lines with Juvederm. We might remove unsightly blemishes or even reduce splotchiness and rejuvenate the skin with a chemical or laser peel, or I can thicken crepey skin with Ulthera, and for the most dramatic rejuvenation, I perform short scar face and neck lifts. Let's sit down in my Somerset, New Jersey or Beverly Hills offices for an hour consultation and come up with a plan to help you look better. Give me a call at 833-PERRY-MD. That's 833-PERRY-MD. Check me out on the web at perryplasticsurgery.com. And don't forget to listen to me, Dr. Arthur Perry, every Saturday evening at 6 p.m. right here on WOR.
You're listening to What's Your Wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry. What's your wrinkle?
And we're back. This is Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WOR. And I hope everyone is having a wonderful weekend. A little nippy today. Ultraviolet index right now is 1. That means, yes, you can take off your sunscreen. You don't need my daytime right now, but certainly tomorrow you will. because it's going to be a scorch. I have no idea what the weather is tomorrow. I'm not the weatherman. Noah will be able to tell you that. But I can tell you, you should be using my daytime because, yes, it's got the SPF 20, but it also has the niacinamide. And, yes, we are having a special. Everybody has asked me for this. We have not had a single special with my company since November. It's been a drought, but there is a special now. We've got normally the three bottles of daytime run for about $120 for three bottles. And for this special, this weekend only, do I sound like those other guys on the radio? This weekend only, it's three bottles for $100, and that means you get free shipping. So three bottles, it comes out to $33 or so a bottle. Not bad, because this is really good stuff. And people who use it, no, I am not kidding. It really is nice. It's three bottles of daytime. You have to use the code. You ready for the code? Write it down. It's, what is the code? It's Spring 2021. That's Spring 2021. You put the code in at checkout, and you get, instead of $120 for three bottles, you get $100. If you were to buy them separately, it's $45 a bottle. So it's a pretty good discount. All right, so that's what it is. Daytime is what we're giving away bottles of this evening. And I promise to tell you, you know, any time a plastic surgeon or a doctor tells you they never have complications, my chief at the University of Chicago used to tell me there's only two types of doctors that don't have complications, and one of those is a liar, and the other is someone that's been in practice 3 weeks. They haven't had a chance to have a complication. So I did get a call from one of my long-term patients. I operated on her 20 years ago, and I've been doing lip augmentations on her for, I believe, 16 years. About 14 years, okay. 14, no, it's 16. And I've been injecting hyaluronic acid into her lip. And after about 4 or 5 years, she really did grow her lips big enough. And she came in and she wanted bigger lips. And I told her, no, it's big enough. She said, look, honestly, I want bigger lips. If you don't do them, I'll go to someone else. And I said, okay, I will inject more hyaluronic acid, and I think it was Restylane in those days. I'll do that as long as you don't tell anyone who did it, because I don't like making enormous lips, but she wanted enormous lips. So, you know, I mean, they're not enormous, but they're bigger than I think is most beautiful, right? So anyway, the story goes, I've been injecting her lips virtually every year for about 16 years. The last time was 16 months ago before COVID. So she had her Restylane, or actually it was Juvederm Volbella the last time, and I injected it, and she loved her lips. She loved what they looked like. She got her second COVID shot a couple days ago. First shot 3 weeks before that went no problem at all. And then she got her COVID shot, and that night she felt a little bit of tingling in her lips. And the next day she woke up and her upper lip was enormous, enormous. It swelled. It's one of these rare reactions to the COVID vaccine. Can you imagine that? And it was described in the first group with the Moderna vaccine. They described it, I think it was November, it was first published. And it was in the experimental group out of 16,000 people. There were three people who had prior hyaluronic acid injections to their face. And after the injection, sometime between 1 and 14 days, their face swelled where the hyaluronic acid was injected. And we all in plastic surgery looked at that and said, well, that's pretty rare. We'll never see that. Lo and behold, I had my first patient this week that had that reaction. And what's the treatment? Well, we put her on what's called a Medrol dose pack. It's a steroid. And I haven't spoken to her yet today. It was yesterday that I saw her. I will call her tomorrow morning and find out how she's doing. And hopefully the lip has gone down in size. But that's the treatment. You know, it's a short course of steroids. It's not something to really get very worried about, because in the experience, and there have been a few publications since that first one came out, in the experience of plastic surgeons and dermatologists, it goes down. It always goes down. And it's a funny reaction where the body attacks the hyaluronic acid because it mistakes it for something that's in the virus. It's rare. It's interesting. Don't get worked up. It's the recommendation, even from the FDA, is if you want to have your filler, you still have your filler. If you do have filler and you get the COVID vaccine, Yes, still have the vaccine. And if you do get a reaction, it's very, very rare. You know, I suppose I've had, hard for me to get the exact number, but we're probably closing on maybe 8,000, 9,000 patients that I've done filler on over the years. And this is the first one. Hopefully it'll be the last, but it is interesting. It's not a complication, but it is an unusual reaction. And, you know, the job of the plastic surgeon or the dermatologist or an internist in this circumstance is simply to see the patient, reassure the patient. That's where the mask comes in. You know, hide your lips for a couple days, and eventually it will go down, and it will. I'm sure it will. I'm not worried, and she shouldn't be worried. But it is interesting. All right, I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WOR. The phone number, 800-321-0710, 800-321-0710. It's the phone number in New York and around the country. So, all right, we were talking before the break about the most common procedures in cosmetic surgery. And of course, it's Botox. That's number one. But what do you think is the most common surgical procedure? You know, what's the difference between surgery and a non-surgical procedure? You all know what it is, but sometimes it gets to be a little blurry when we make an incision and do something called a non-operative procedure. And there are some of those. There are some of these procedures where we get rid of fat in the neck by making a little incision and putting a probe that then destroys the fat. People still call that a non-invasive procedure, even though it's pretty invasive to me. If you're going to make an incision and numb up an area and put a metal thing under your skin, that sounds pretty invasive. But, you know, traditionally, invasive surgery is considered surgery where we make an incision, we lift up the skin, we're looking at a particular structure, and we're altering that structure, and then we are sewing things back. So that's surgery, right? Everybody knows what surgery is when you have your appendix operated on, or your gallbladder operated on, or your tonsils, or you have a facelift. Those are operative procedures. So what was the most common operative procedure in all of plastic surgery last year? I'll give you a hint. It wasn't what it was the year before. The year before, and for many years running, it was breast augmentation surgery. But last year, nearly 200,000 people had, you're ready for this, liposuction. Liposuction has regained the top position. I think it's funny because I've been doing so much liposuction over the years. I do a lot of it, and I do more liposuction than I do breast augmentations, although I do a lot of breast augmentations also. So last year, 198,000 liposuctions, according to the American Society for Aesthetic Plastic Surgery. By the way, they're having their annual meeting right now in Miami. It's the first meeting that's going on. Where actually people can go to it instead of a virtual meeting. So I'll probably be joining the meeting virtually pretty soon, but it's going on in Miami. So they released those numbers, and there were 198,000 people in the United States that had liposuction last year. Why do I call it liposuction? Well, my patients call it liposuction, liposuction. The word is lipid, not lipid. That's how it was before it became popular by those Texans that called it liposuction. All right, the number two procedure, what was it? It was breast augmentation. 186,000 women. Actually, you know, it's interesting. It's not even 186,000 women because apparently there were somewhere in the area of 9,000 men, you know, with the all the transgender surgery that's going on, men who had breast augmentations last year. A lot of it. But most, the great majority, were women that had breast augmentations. And certainly that before last year was one of the most popular procedures for decades. In fact, the most popular procedure. But back in the days where there were some controversy over breast augmentation surgery, breast augmentations lost popularity. And I wonder if it's because of the lymphomas that have been linked to breast augmentation surgery, even though there have only been 700 of those, only, that's kind of a lot, but if you consider the 20 or 30 million women that have had breast augmentations over the years since 1962, there's a cumulative total of somewhere around 700 or so people that have had lymphomas, and that's a terrible thing. I've never seen that, nor have, I think when I last asked my colleagues at Columbia. I don't think anyone has seen those there, but we'll have to ask my friend Dr. Robert Grant whether or not any of the faculty have seen those. But they're still pretty rare, and I know they have seen those at Sloan Kettering, and they've seen a number of those. But then again, that's a center. That's a center where the numbers are quite skewed, because if you have something like a lymphoma caused by a breast implant, where are you going to go? You're going to go to a place like Sloan Kettering in the Upper East Side of Manhattan, because that's where people like my friend Joe Disa, a great plastic surgeon, would be seeing those type of patients, right? You would call there. You wouldn't call me necessarily, because you want the specialized facility if you have that kind of complication. But it's rare. It's very rare. We're talking 700 people in the world of 20, 30 million women who have had breast augmentations. And usually, by the way, if you are worried, it's the textured implant, not the smooth implant. And for the most part, it was the textured implant that was the Allergan implant, as opposed to the Johnson & Johnson or Sientra implants. But yes, there have been a few by those other companies. And none, to my knowledge, reported in women who only had the silicone smooth implants, not the silicone textured implants. And there were a couple cases that were very rare for those sticklers out there in women that with smooth implants, but they had had prior textured implants. So for women who only had smooth implants, never had a textured implant in their life, I don't think one has been reported. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WOR. Give me a call, 800-321-0710. We'll be back after these messages, and remember, we're going to talk more about the most common procedures in cosmetic surgery, and I'm going to talk to you about some other funny things in plastic surgery when we return. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry, 800-321-0710. We'll be right back.
Did you know that most skincare is useless, even fraudulent, and often toxic? I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry. I needed great skincare for my patients, but really could not find products that dramatically improve skin health. So I went to the books, and I created a line of skincare that reduces the appearance of wrinkles and truly rejuvenates skin. I want everyone to try my products, and so for a limited time, I'm offering my Beauty in a Bottle Nighttime Serum at a great price. Normally, this is $65, but for WOR listeners, it's $40 plus shipping. Nighttime contains vitamin C and A, fruit acids, antioxidants, and skin brighteners. That's all you need for beautiful skin. It's so simple that your friends and relatives will be asking you, what are you doing to look so good? Go to drperrys.com, that's drperrys.com, or give us a call at 844-DR-PERRY. Use the WOR20 code for the discount. To learn more, listen every Saturday evening, 6 p.m., right here on WOR.
Ladies, are you looking older than you feel? I'm board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry. Aging is inevitable. We all know that, but I can help you age gracefully. I start with Botox to lessen frown lines, and I use the new Restylane Kiss. What a great name! To give you more kissable lips. No duck lips here. And I smooth the jawline and plump marionette lines with Juvederm. We might remove unsightly blemishes or even reduce splotchiness and rejuvenate the skin with a chemical or laser peel, or I can thicken crepey skin with Althera, and for the most dramatic rejuvenation, I perform short scar face and neck lifts. Let's sit down in my Somerset, New Jersey or Beverly Hills offices for an hour consultation and come up with a plan to help you look better. Give me a call at 833-PERRY-MD. That's 833-PERRY-MD. Check me out on the web at perryplasticsurgery.com. And don't forget to listen to me, Dr. Arthur Perry, every Saturday evening at 6 p.m. right here on WOR.
You're listening to What's Your Wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry. What's Your Wrinkle?
And we're back. This is Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WOR. And, when I talk about these most common procedures in cosmetic surgery, there are actually two different national societies, and they compile different statistics. So, which one is right? Well, it's hard to know. There's the American Society of Plastic Surgeons, and then there's the American Society of Aesthetic Plastic Surgeons. And they overlap quite a bit. I'm in both societies. And what is a society? It's not something where you go and to dances and things like that. It's not that kind of society. What it is, it's an educational organization. So it organizes the educational programs for plastic surgeons such as myself. And that's its primary function. Yes, it also represents us before when issues come up with government agencies and things like that. If a law gets passed that we feel would be a bad thing for society, such as if they were to say aestheticians could inject Botox or something, the American Society of Plastic Surgeons would come out and try and represent the plastic surgeons and say to the politicians that this is not too smart. All right. So, but for the most part, it's an educational organization. But every year, and by the way, while I'm in both organizations, a lot of plastic surgeons are in only one or the other, and it depends on their practice. So if you do hand surgery, you're pretty much not going to be in the aesthetic society. But if you're in, if you do rhinoplasties mostly, you'll probably be in both organizations. So each year when the statistics are compiled, they're a little different. Usually they're almost the same. This year they did come out differently. And I told you that with the Aesthetic Society, the most common procedure was liposuction followed by breast augmentation. But with the American Society of Plastic Surgeons, their data came out recently also. They had a completely different number. Their most common procedure this year was rhinoplasty, nasal reshaping. And that's really big for us rhinoplasty fans. And I did a lot of rhinoplasties this year, and this past year. I understand that. And it is probably the procedure that I enjoy the most because it's the most difficult procedure in all of cosmetic surgery. And it's the most creative procedure. It's really the most artistic procedure. I love doing rhinoplasties, and I do a lot of them. And so 352,000 people had rhinoplasties last year, according to the American Society for Plastic Surgeons, far greater than the number of people who had liposuction. And it's confusing to me, and it's confusing to you, you know, why there would be differences. But the reason is not everybody sends their list in. They don't. You know, the Plastic Surgery Society bugs us starting in November to get our numbers in because it's important to them and it's important to you as a consumer. You want to know, you know, really what is popular. And it is interesting to see, you know, how many, by the way, calf augmentation, how many do you think were done in the United States last year? You hear about it all the time. People talk about getting their calves made bigger, right? There were less than 300 in the whole country. That's an extinct procedure. And so it's interesting to know that. The year before, there were 600. And, you know, so that's one that's going out of business. No one's having calf implants. They're not having pectoral implants. You know, men who don't want to go to the gym, they just want a bigger pec muscle. You know, so they put these silicone things in their chest. Looks funny, feels funny. They don't fool anybody. And they're going out of business. There were 700 or so last year in the United States. Not many at all if you think of, you know, all the people. You know, how many hundreds of millions of people in the United States? No one's having those procedures. But rhinoplasties, you know, 350,000, that's a fair number. And according to the American Society of Plastic Surgeons, it was eyelid surgery, blepharoplasty, which I did too last week, 325,000. Great procedure. And I did one under local anesthesia and one under intravenous sedation last week. But certainly different from the list by the Aesthetic Society. But, you know, and the next one down was the facelift, 230,000. And then we get to the liposuction and the breast augmentation procedures. But one thing both societies agreed on was that Botox, very, very popular, according to the American Society of Plastic Surgeons, 4.4 million people had Botox. Isn't that interesting? That's a lot of people, you have to admit. 4.4 million people had Botox last year in the United States. 3.4 million people had wrinkle filler of one type or another. We were talking to Lori a little while ago about the wrinkle filler hyaluronic acid, but there's others. There are other wrinkle fillers. You know, there's that calcium hydroxyl apatite that's called Radius, and then there's others that I don't use. But the reason those procedures are so popular is that they work, that they're safe, and they're pretty reproducible. When I do wrinkle filler, boy, I'll tell you, my patients, I mean, it's the procedure that I do. There's only two procedures I do that you see the result immediately. So by the time you get to that mirror at the checkout counter in my office, you say, wow, And you really do, because wrinkle filler immediately will fill your nasolabial folds. Those are the folds between the corner of the nose and the corner of the mouth. It'll fill your marionette lines. Those are the hardest ones to fill, by the way. Those are the, from the corner of the mouth down to the bottom of the chin. And, you know, remember Howdy Doody had those marionette lines? So those are hard to fill, and that's where Radius is very useful if you can tolerate it. So those are common. And then when I do filler, I inject filler around the fine lines around the mouth. So I'll use different types of filler, by the way. I'll use more thicker filler. Not more thicker. I'll use thicker filler. Something called Volure. That's a Juvederm product. Or even Voluma, which is a really thick product. And there are Restylane products that do the same thing. Restylane Define is used in the folds. And then there's Refine that are used in the that's used in the fine lines around the lips, or I'll use Juvederm Volbella. They're very, very similar products, by the way. So if you go to your plastic surgeon or dermatologist and that doctor wants to use one or another, as long as they're skilled and they know what they're doing and they read the literature, leave the artistic selection of filler up to the doctor. Really, you know, you probably shouldn't tell the pilot, you know, that maybe you should be flying at a higher altitude, you know, when you see him before the flight, and you probably, yeah, you shouldn't tell the surgeon maybe you should use this filler or that filler. You know, you could ask that surgeon in the consultation, which filler are you going to use, and if they choose one particular filler that you don't know anything about, you might ask, you know, why are you going to use that filler, and if they can't give a good reason for you, that might not be a good reason to go, might not be a good doctor to go to, because your doctor should know everything about the particular filler that he or she is using. And if that doctor does suggest a permanent filler, that's my advice to you, is you really have to question that one, because the permanent fillers, like I mentioned before, the silicones and the methyl methacrylate, which works really good in crazy glue, but I'm not so good sure how good it works in your face. I don't know about that one. But certainly, I'm not a fan of permanent fillers. I like the fillers that will be there today and eventually go away. And how soon should it go away? Well, if you use the new generation of Juvederm fillers, the data says that they will stay. About two-thirds of them, about 65-67%, will stay around for a year. That means a third will not stay around for a year. And those that third that will stay around for a year, a lot will stay for 14 months, 16 months, 18 months. It depends. And it also depends on where on your face you put that filler. So when I put Voluma, which is a very thick filler, on your chin to make what's called a liquid chin implant, or on your cheekbones to make your cheeks stand out, that will usually stay almost 2 years. But when I use the Restylane Kiss, oh, that's the great one, that's the new one, in your lips it's used to make your lips a little bit bigger, make those fine lines around your lips look much better. Can we make them completely go away? I never tell my patients that. I can make them less visible, but I don't like to fool you, and I don't like to say words that are not correct. I can't make everything completely go away. I can just do the best job I can do. And sometimes people, it takes two or even three treatments before you look as good as you want to look. And it depends on the depth of your wrinkles and how many you have. So if you come in with a lot of wrinkles, and you know who you are, if you're 75 years old, you've spent all your summers at the Jersey Shore or on the beach in Long Island or in Newport Beach in California, and you come in to see me, you're one of those people that in the 1960s used those mirrors to double the amount of ultraviolet light, sunlight in your face, and then you use the baby oil to really try and intensify. You know who you are. And you come in and you've got wrinkle and wrinkle and wrinkle. Now, it's not going away with one visit. What I try and do is inject appropriately. I don't want to give you a duck lip appearance. You know what duck lips are. If I try to do it in one visit, and that's the mistake, by the way. There's real artistry to doing filler. The mistake that a lot of doctors make is to try and do it in one visit. And they put a lot of filler in, and the lip tends to curl up, and the face looks bizarre. Not a good thing to do. It has to be done artistically. It's got to be done slowly. And that means, I'm not talking about injecting it slowly, although that also. I'm talking about correcting whatever it is we're trying to correct, whether it's a wrinkle or a fold or to reestablish the cheekbones. We want to do it in a graded way and not inject so much that you look strange, like Schwarzenegger. He doesn't look strange. Sorry, Arnie. I know he listens to this show. I'm saying you don't want to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger if you're a 25-year-old petite woman. You don't want these cheekbones that are ridiculous, right? And that's where the artistry of the doctor comes in. That is where the artistry of plastic surgery comes in. Well, Noah begins to wave his hands right around now. So we're going to have to get out of the studio, the remote studio. I want to thank my listeners. Thank Noah so much. The phone number in the office this week, if you want to give me a call, is 732-422-9600. The only office I have right now is the New Jersey office. We'll be reopening in New York, but not yet. We're trying to find that great location. Eventually, we'll be in Tribeca. That definitely will be opening in about, hopefully before the end of the year, but we'll be back in a location until the Tribeca office opens pretty soon, and we'll be talking more about that during the next show. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. Thank you so much for listening to me. Check me out on Facebook, facebook.com. If you're interested in the products, it's drperrys.com, drperrys.com. Thanks so much for great engineering, Noah. We'll see everybody next week. Bye-bye now.